Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. I'm Eric Steven, your host. It is Friday, September 30th, and we are heading into the weekend. The Dodgers are at home, where they will be for a very long time. To get that home part of their schedule now, they had to finish off a road series, their last one of the regular season. They did so by beating the Padres. The Dodgers have won all six series against the Padres this year. They won 14 out of 19 against them. They've won nine straight series against the Padres dating back to last year. The Thursday night hero was Miguel Vargas, who got a spot start and delivered three RBIs. Trace Thompson was originally in the lineup to start in left, but was a scratch. Dave Roberts said before the game that Thompson had a personal matter to attend to, and he left the team, but is supposed to be back with them in LA on Friday. So Miguel Vargas slotted into left field. It's just his eighth start of the month since getting called back up. He delivered a sacrifice fly in the second for the Dodgers' first run of the game. And then in a 2-2 game in the sixth, Pierce Johnson was in. And Vargas fell behind 1-2, ended up evening the count, and then hitting a single up the middle for a two-run single to break the tie. That ended up being the winning runs of the game. The Dodgers won 5-2. Vargas's last game was 5 days ago, and he had a two-run shot in that one for his first big league home run, so not a bad two games for him. Five RBIs in those two games. It's one of those things, like, I don't want to get ahead of myself and, like, think this means Vargas is a lock for the postseason roster or anything. We've certainly talked about the postseason roster quite a bit in both Leading Off podcast and the lineup with Jacob Birch. We all sort of know how this goes, but just the fact that he's active makes him, have a chance. Like I'm not talking about for like eligibility reasons. I'm thinking more how they're using him, and the fact that they do sort of trust him to a point. Now, a small sample size. He only has 43 big league at bats. He's hitting 195 with a 502 OPS. Again, only 43 plate appearances. To his credit, Vargas doesn't really strike out a lot. It's just 21% in the majors. It was 14.6 in AAA. That's well below average, both. He's going to be fine, especially in the long term. But, like, what does that mean for this season? Now, Dave Roberts was asked about it after the game. Jack Harris tweeted this out, and they showed it on Sportsnet LA, too. About Vargas, and Dave Roberts said, quote, "His name is certainly in the mix to make the postseason roster, absolutely." He was asked directly about Vargas there making the postseason roster. So, yeah, I mean, it's just something that we'll see how it plays out. We've talked about this before. Now, the Dodgers basically been using four players to cover center field and left field, basically, plus, you know, a lot of second base for Chris Taylor, too, in there. But it's, you know, Cody Bellinger, Chris Taylor, Trace Thompson, and Joey Gallo. They all have flaws in various ways. Like, Gallo and Thompson strike out a ton. Thompson's been the best, like, when he actually makes contact, though. So, like, Bellinger, you know, provides the defense in center and, like, is, like, very, very slowly but surely, like, having the occasional good game offensively. Taylor's been hitting a little bit better and been playing a little more often. But, like, Joey Gallo in particular, he's in a funk, right? Like, that's what you're just going to get with these guys. After homering on September 19th, that was 10 days ago, or I guess 11 days ago now, Gallo is 2-for-15 with 4 walks and 12 strikeouts. So he's basically, it's like strikeout or walk almost at the point going up to the plate now. On the season, Gallo's strikeout rate is 39.8%. That's with the Dodgers and Yankees. With just the Dodgers, it's 42.1%. Now, this is a pregame quote from Roberts, not talking about Gallo specifically, but he was asked about the sort of high strikeout rate among, like, the Dodgers 6-9 spots, and it's mostly those four guys I was talking about, although, you know, mix in a few others here and there. This is what Roberts said before the game. You don't ever want to say, hey, don't strike out, but when you're looking at north of 40% strikeout percentage, that just doesn't play well in the postseason. No one is trying to strike out, but moving the ball forward is paramount. So, again, Vargas doesn't strike out relative to the other guys, but, you know, he also is the least proven, but also has a load of talent. And, like, you never know, depending on what the matchups are, just how they're going to go. And just the fact that Vargas is still getting starts here, even occasionally, bodes well, even if it doesn't mean he's going to be active in the postseason. But if he does, like, I think they're comfortable with him. So it's just something to think about. We still have a little less than 2 weeks before that decision needs to be made, but it was a good moment for Vargas, a good couple games for him. In the three-game series against the Padres, the real star was, I think, the Dodgers just overall pitching. The starters were really good, including we'll get to the sort of the bolt guy on Thursday, but the bullpen, they used like a mix-and-match style, which is sort of, I think, how they envision an ideal bullpen, especially with not one lockdown closer, you know, sort of the post-Kimbrel setup. And it worked pretty much for all three games, except for the one Kimbrel slip-up on Tuesday where he was wild. But they were particularly effective against Manny Machado in key spots, the relievers were. So relievers faced Machado 6 times in 3 games with a total of 10 runners on base. He was 0-for-6 with 4 strikeouts in those spots. Now, I'm also counting Brusdar Graterol here. He was the opener Thursday, so he pitched the first inning. But part of the reason he does that is because you sort of know exactly who he's going to face at that point, and like ahead of time. So he did face Machado with 2 on. He got him to fly out with 2 on base in the first, and that was Graterol's only inning. So it was a reliever-type situation, obviously not late in the game. But all the other stuff was late in the game. Chris Martin was sort of the big Machado getter, I guess, in the series. He struck out Machado with the bases loaded in the 8th on Tuesday and then struck him out again with 2 runners on in the 7th on Thursday. David Price, pitching his first game this month after missing time with left wrist soreness, he got Machado to ground out to end the game on Thursday, earning the save. They're just like, you know, whoever's the last guy up is going to be the save guy. Evan Phillips and Tommy Kahnle both pitched the first 2 games of the series, so they were down. So, yeah, they're just getting a lot of effective innings from a lot of guys, so it sort of bodes well going into the postseason. The other thing is sort of they were, I think, getting Andrew Heaney ready for probably what his role is going to be in the postseason. They had Heaney go in the second inning after Graterol, and that's the first time this year he wasn't used as a starter. He ended up pitching 4 scoreless innings with 6 strikeouts. And, you know, most importantly, given how he's pitched of late, he kept the ball in the ballpark. He didn't allow any runs, let alone home runs. So you figure that's how he's going to be used in the postseason, and I think it just bodes well for them. So now the Dodgers are back home. We'll talk a little bit more about what's left on the schedule after the break. Thursday was the Dodgers' last road game of the season, the regular season anyway. They don't play another game outside of Dodger Stadium until October 14th. That is 2 weeks away. That's game 3 of the NLDS. Dodgers were 54-27 on the road. That's the most road wins in franchise history. This year, that's better than 26 Major League teams' home records, to put that in perspective, how good they've been playing. On the road, they have a +190 run differential. That's the third best in the majors since 1901. Only the 1939 Yankees and the 1906 Cubs were better. The Dodgers this year as a team had a 2.54 ERA away from home. That's the best road ERA in the majors since 1920. Coincidentally, that was also a Dodgers team. Brooklyn that year had a 2.47 road ERA. There were, I think, 1968, I believe, Cleveland. I don't have it in front of me. They were 2.55, but that was famously the year of the pitcher. So either way, it was going to be like an historic road ERA, just as low as for being as low as it was. Freddie Freeman has 46 doubles on the season. 29 of those came in road games. That's one shy of the team record for road doubles in a season. The record everyone talks about. Jimmy Johnston in 1921 did that. Wes Parker also did it in 1970. Freeman had 109 hits on the road. Trey Turner had 102. The 109 hits are the fourth most in LA Dodger history on the road. Freeman scored 64 runs on the road. That was the most since Sean Green scored 73 on the road in 2001. That 73 is tied with Eddie Stanky for the club record for road runs scored. That's hard to say. A bunch of times fast. Mookie Betts on the road, 19 home runs and 20 doubles. He's not too far off from that at home too, and they still have six more games left, so it's not, it's not that, that out of line, but I just thought that was a nice little number for him. Julio Urias started 17 road games. He was 11-4 with a 1.94 ERA. And if you go by uniforms, the Dodgers were 34-16 wearing the Dodgers gray jerseys. They were 20-10 wearing Los Angeles gray jerseys. Now, earlier in the season, they started off the season wearing the Los Angeles jerseys. The first 27 road games of the year were the Los Angeles ones, which I believe are technically their standard road jersey, or at least official standard road jersey, and the Dodgers ones are the alternates. But then beginning in June, they started wearing Dodgers on the road. I believe it was a supply issue, part of the reason why they waited so long. But then they basically wore the Dodgers for 50 out of 51 games on the road. The only one they didn't was a June 10th game in San Francisco, which was the all-blue City Connect uniforms, which they lost that game. And then they went back to the Los Angeles jerseys for this last road game, road series of the year. So a little bit weird. It's probably weird that I keep track of this, but it's just a fun little thing. I wrote about it on the site. I will link to it in the show notes. But now the Dodgers are back home. They have six games all against the Rockies to close out the regular season. Clayton Kershaw starts the opener on Friday against Chad Kuhl, who shut out the Dodgers earlier this year at Coors Field, which was memorable. Kershaw is probably going to start two games in the series, including the last day of the season on Wednesday. So who knows if that's just going to be like a tune-up type start or what, but they, again, they do have the 5 days off in between the NLDS. So we'll see how they sort of play that. Dave Roberts did say earlier today, Tony Gonsolin's pitching starting on Monday. So they have that sort of locked in too. So right now the Dodgers are 108-48, which is weird. 60 games over 500. But they're six games up on the Astros, who have been amazing in their own right, 102-54. But there's only six games left to play. So the Dodgers' sort of magic number, as it were, to clinch the best record in baseball is just one. If the Dodgers win one more game or the Astros lose one more, the Dodgers will clinch the best record in baseball. And that means home field advantage in any series they play through the World Series. So that seems like a pretty cool thing if they can, as long as they keep playing, So we saw that last year they lost two walk-off games to the Braves, who had home field in the NLCS because the Dodgers didn't win the division. This year, they're going to be home to start every series they play, likely. So that's a good thing. But as we've seen, given the numbers I just sort of rattled off, they also did very well on the road. There turns out they're just a good team. A couple other things in sight for the weekend. So the Dodgers with 108 wins, they match. That's the most in the National League, tied in the last 113 seasons. The 1975 Reds, the Big Red Machine, were also had 108 wins. 86 Mets also had 108 wins, but no NL team has had more than that since the 1909 Pirates. They won 110, and the Dodgers still have six games left. So they have a chance to make some hay there. So it's pretty incredible, this run they're on. And, yeah, I hope you enjoy some baseball this weekend. It's all going to be at home. And thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week.